You're listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open, 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. We're going to go to Old Bridge and say good morning to Debbie. Hey, Debbie, how are you? Hey, there you are. Wait, Debbie.
Sorry about that. Had myself on mute. How are you, Peggy?
I'm good. How are you? What can I do for you today?
Doing great. Well, with this drought, I mean, you've probably seen it as well. We have a whole row of arborvitaes that sporadically in that row have died.
Oh.
You know, we tried to keep them, you know, wet, but obviously we didn't do a great job. So now my question is, you know, we've taken out the ones that obviously are dead. When's the best time to try and replant?
Okay, so what are you planning on planting?
Well, we're going to put back some arborvitaes. You know, probably not put them back as close as they were. Don't know if that was the problem. But, you know, didn't know if we should do it in the fall, wait until the spring, see if any more die.
Well, you could definitely plant them now. I mean, the weather is breaking. It's supposed to rain for the next 2 days. I would wait until after that so that the ground has a chance to absorb some of that water so it's not rock hard and bone dry. So so I would do that. But you could plant them now. My question is, I have a couple questions. One is, where are these guys planted? Are they along a fence? Are they kind of scattered in the yard? Are they just a property along the edge of the property without a fence?
They're along the property line, and it's just a picket fence that's there.
Okay.
But there are some big old oak trees around the area.
Okay. So this is like a privacy planting?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And how many total trees were there before any died? About?
There was probably about 15.
Okay, and how many did you lose?
And we've lost 6 that I've taken out, and there's probably about 2 more to go.
So you lost about half of them.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate. That probably makes you very sad. Would make me
sad.
Oh,
yeah, you know, because my dad planted them.
Oh.
So, you know, so he's looking at them and like, all my hard work, you know. And they've been in the ground probably 15 years, so thought
so
they were okay.
They're big.
Know?
So they're big then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, you're not going to be able to match what you took down.
Right.
So, I'm going to make a couple of suggestions, and we can talk about them. But maybe you want to put in something else, something different.
Mm-hmm.
Just because if you plant more arborvitae, they're going to really stick out, because all the ones that are left are going to be really gigantic.
Right.
And then the ones that you add are going to be not gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to be adding a lot of them, so you could do different sizes. Get maybe 2 or 3 the biggest ones you can find. They'll be a little pricey, but 2 or 3 big ones. And then you could get smaller ones and fill in, and then you'll get a variation in height, and it won't be so obvious that you've got 8 giant ones and 8 medium ones.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do different sizes, you can you can kind of soften it that it doesn't look like, you know, you just replaced a whole bunch.
Right.
I would also consider, instead of planting in a straight row, planting in a staggered row so that you kind of, again, soften the line a little bit. So
mm-hmm.
it's not just, you know, soldier straight.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also consider maybe putting in something else. Now, the arborvitae that are in there are a lot bigger than they were before. So when they were planted and they're doing okay and they're nice and tall, maybe you want to break it up with something. Maybe not necessarily replace them with arborvitae. Maybe put something flowering in. Maybe some crepe myrtles that you could put in between.
Oh, that's a good idea.
kind of, you know, slightly forward of where, if you have the room, slightly forward of where the arborvitae are. And then you would break up the line of, you know, straight arborvitae, and you'd have a couple of things in front of it that will spread and get wider than where the gap is, because, you know, crepe myrtles tend to spread on the top and be big. And that'll fill in the holes, but it'll be kind of interesting, and it'll give you flowers in the summer.
Right,
Something.
Yeah, because right now it looks like windows where we've taken out the dead ones.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
It's like you have this line of green, you know.
Right, so if it were me, I would do something like that, because that would really soften the line, but it would still fill in the gaps, but it would look like you planned it.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, just break it up, give it some color too.
Yes,
you know,
give it some
the
color.
Green.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So you could do that. You could also try different evergreens. You know, now the arborvitaes tend to be, relatively speaking, on the narrow side. So, you know, you might want to try something else on the narrow side instead of arborvitae. The columnar white pines kind of have a similar shape, not a regular white pine. Regular white pine looks initially like a Christmas tree, fat on the bottom, narrow on the top. It changes as it matures over time. But the columnar ones, meaning grows like a column, are much narrower and tighter and grow more straight up and down, more like the shape of an arborvitae. So you might want to consider putting in a few of those, say three of those. You're replacing eight, so maybe put three of those in. Again, slightly forward, break up the line. It wouldn't look like, you know, you were patching it. It would look like you were doing something different, something creative.
Right.
And maybe what you want to do is three columnar white pines and three crepe myrtles. You know, so it would really break it up. It would give you some winter interest with the white pines, but it would give you color with the crepe myrtles. But try to, you know, make lemonade, you know?
Yeah, right. Yep, it doesn't have to be all the same. I like that idea.
Right. So take this unfortunate situation and turn it into something brilliant that will make your heart sing, which is, you know, important. And that will help offset the fact that you lost trees that your father planted, which will make you sad. So,
put in
something really beautiful that will make it not so sad that you lost things that your father planted, because you're putting in something really beautiful that will make you smile.
Great. Well, I like those ideas, Peggy. And thanks so much for taking my call this morning. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'm going to tell you one other plant that I've kind of fallen in love with. That you might consider. It's a weeping Alaskan cedar. Now, they may not be the easiest to find, but I do know Mel at Madden's Nursery. That's where I got mine. She has a few, and they're very narrow, but they're kind of exotic looking. So you you could go online and look up weeping Alaskan cedar. Even the regular Alaskan cedars are kind of exotic looking, but the weeping ones are even more exotic. So they're really fun. So and again, they stay narrow, so you could, you know, put them in those spots where the arborvitae came down. So, you know, get a little creative, but I'm very curious as to what you decide. So I would hope that perhaps when you figure it out, you'll call me back and tell me what you decided.
Yes, I will definitely do that. I will.
Okay.
Well, thanks again. You have a great day.
You too.
Happy
thanks for calling. Thanks. Bye-bye now. Okay, who have we got? We got it. Okay. Art from Milltown. How you doing, Uncle Art?
Good morning, my dear. How are you today?
Well, mostly I'm good. I'm still a little achy, I have to admit. I overdid it last weekend.
And so did I, yesterday.
Yesterday?
And the day before.
Well, over...
My lawn died.
Oh, not surprising.
And I killed myself. And I'm sorry, coming in from Mass, I caught the tail end of your talk with your son about lawns. So I missed all of that. So if it's going to be repeated, I apologize.
Well, it's no need to apologize, because it's a message that really needs to get out there. Now is the time.
I have a very, very sunny lawn in the front, and it just totally burned down. And I did not water, as you said, after it died. So, but it is pretty much shot. So I thatched it and I raked it and I've got it pretty much prepared. But my question is, what is the best seed for full sun?
Kentucky bluegrass.
Say what?
A Kentucky bluegrass.
Kentucky blue?
Yeah, Kentucky blue.
Okay.
But you always want to mix something else in there. Now, Kentucky bluegrass is a very desirable grass and is very sun tolerant. And it has a number of advantages because it's one of the grasses that spreads and has a network. That's also what makes thatch, but nonetheless, it spreads and has the ability to some degree to fill in spots if you have a little gap, Kentucky bluegrass, because it has runners and runs along the surface and then roots, will spread and fill in. But you still want a little bit of something else in there. You want a little bit of fescue in there as well. Just because you want to have diversity. You don't want to have all of one kind of grass. And you should probably, you can buy mixes for sunny areas, and you should probably have more than one kind of Kentucky bluegrass. There's all different varieties, and you want to have at least two, preferably three, different kinds of grasses in there. So two Kentucky bluegrasses and a fescue, but something, or at even three Kentucky bluegrasses. I'm going to tell you a story about a kind of grass that was developed. I think it was called Marion. And it was the best grass that they had ever developed. And it was resistant to just about every disease. And it was planted in so many places. And it was thriving until this little disease called red thread that had never, ever been a serious problem. Turns out the Marion bluegrass was totally susceptible to a disease that had never been tested because it was so not obvious. And it wiped out all the lawns that were all Marion bluegrass. So what the point of that is that you definitely want to have a mix of whatever so that you don't have the situation where a disease can come in and wipe out one variety that's susceptible. So you get a mix, two or three Kentucky bluegrasses and at least some fescue. A little perennial rye is helpful. Is that the area we're talking about? Your property slopes down in the back, but
correct.
But
my back is fine because it has shade, and it really didn't get burnt up like the front.
Okay.
It's primarily because of the beating of the hot sun.
Okay, so a little perennial ryegrass seed mixed in has the advantage of how bare is it?
It's pretty much bare.
Okay, because I would be concerned that the soil's going to wash away. We're going to get a lot of rain.
Oh, no, the front lawn is perfectly flat.
Okay, all right, but the reason I suggest, and again, because it's flat, it's not absolutely necessary, but ryegrass, perennial ryegrass, germinates in 7 days, and so you get something that comes up and holds the soil in place.
Okay.
So you want to have a mix of a few different things, but the primary component should be Kentucky blue.
Okay. Second question.
Yes.
Thank you. My next door neighbor has the same problem, and he wants to be creative, and he wants to put a tree in his front yard that would throw him shade.
Okay.
Any suggestions? He wants something that he's not going to buy a gigantic tree, so he wants to be something that's fairly fast and growing, but he would prefer something that flowers. Preferably pink.
He's not too particular, is he?
Not at all. But since I'm going to have to look at it, I want to make sure it's a good job.
Well, it's again, sunny, right?
Very sunny, yes. There's no shade in the front.
Okay. Then he should probably go with crepe myrtle. A crepe myrtle, there are pink ones. There are light pink ones and dark pink ones. And
that's a tree, basically?
Yes, it's a tree.
Or is it a large bush?
No, there are bush forms, but no, they're definitely trees.
And, okay, maple tree. Okay, good.
And that blooms in the summer, which is nice, when a lot of other things have already finished. So that would be my first suggestion for a sunny location. And it's like it's a tree. It's not a huge tree. It's not an oak tree. If you want something that blooms, your oak trees and your maple trees, they bloom, they have to, because they make seeds, but the flowers are somewhat insignificant.
Right.
So if he really wants something that blooms.
And a weeping cherry would not do, right?
No, a cherry would do. A cherry would be. That's a good choice. A flowering cherry could be a weeping cherry, could be an upright cherry. There's lots of different flowering cherries. That would be a good choice.
Okay.
They bloom in the spring. which, of course, you know, that's when a lot of other things are blooming. He has to make a decision. Does he want something spring blooming or does he want something summer blooming? Now, cherry trees can get bigger, closer to like a shade tree than a crepe myrtle. But don't underestimate the crepe myrtle. They can get pretty big. So when I had two at Blooming Acres, the back of the house, we had a beautiful all concrete porch made, built, added onto the back. And it had a big staircase that got wider as it got down on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it created these little nooks on either side of the stairs where I put crepe myrtles. And the crepe myrtles, they were deep pink. They were really beautiful. They were spectacular. And they bloomed most of the summer. And then we had a deck built on the roof of the porch. And it was outside the master bedroom suite that we added on the second floor. And you could sit on the deck on the second floor, and the crepe myrtles grew above the rail on the second floor.
So and what's the breadth of them? How wide do they get?
They can get fairly wide, and there's different kinds of habit that are available. Some are single-trunked, and some they plant multiple trunks in the same pot, and so those clearly get wider. So you have to pick one that you like, but they are, point is that they get at least that big, which is maybe big enough, which is, you know, way over the second story, significantly over the second story. Cherry tree can get even bigger.
Okay. And now I have to turn it over to my lovely wife because she has a question.
Good morning.
Good morning. I don't have a question. I have a statement.
Okay.
My eggplant, which began with the A, whatever one that was, grew me only one fruit, but it was like a huge grapefruit, and we had it last night for dinner. It was out of this world.
Really? The Oswad one?
Oswad, yeah. Only one grew. I think another blossom might have come, but it dried. I don't know why. Remember, my garden lives on the deck on the second level away from the deer, so anything that feeds me from there, I think, is a winner. And so that being said, we enjoyed that. But last week when you were talking about the wonderful cantaloupes, I wanted to call, but when we ran out of time, a volunteer grew in the Datura pot, and I now have a little slightly bigger than a tennis ball. I think it's a cantaloupe.
Okay. Well, that's exciting.
I know. So that's also growing on the deck so that the vine wouldn't be all over the place. I then put it in a hanging pot, so I have this hanging vine and then a support for the fruit. I mean, it looks like, I don't know what, a bad science project here.
What did you use to hold up the fruit?
I put a pot underneath it that it could just rest in, but I don't let water get in that pot.
Okay, well, that sounds like fun.
I know, crazy, right?
Good crazy.
And yesterday, I replanted out of my hanging baskets my wandering Jew plants into pots I could give away. So I definitely have too many wandering Jew plants, which I know that has another name, but I don't know what it is.
Tradescantia.
Okay, well, they're absolutely gorgeous, and you know I hate to let anything die, so I'm now looking for homes.
Okay, well, send me a picture.
You can have them inside. I just can't have 8 baskets in my house. I have too many other things I have to bring in for the winter.
And how's your passion vine doing?
It's good. The one that came from the swap never bloomed, but it's happy. That's on the back deck. The other one in the front, which is the one from last year, bloomed, and it's kind of fun. I told you I put the tomato cage in there, so it's like this ring around the rosy wreath, and then it went up the downspout. And then I had only one that rooted from me trying to root my own, and it's sitting there on the porch. You can't tell one from the other, but I don't think that one has bloomed at all. So, but I still, that makes three people that need to come in with the trim plants and everybody else. So I know I need a greenhouse, but I'm not having it. Thank you.
Uncle Art, did you hear that?
Uncle Art's the one that said I'm not having it.
Well, he might change his mind. He's a good guy. He might change his mind.
We'd have to take over the deck, and I don't want to do that, so.
It could be temporary. It could be one of those collapsible ones.
We tried that.
Oh, you did?
We have a small one, but that's not nearly enough warmth out there. Yours has the beauty of getting a little bit of house warmth.
Well, mine also has a heater. I have a
right.
Well,
but you have a real greenhouse.
I do.
You're the plant lady.
Yeah, well, I am. You know, it took me a long time to get it. I'm thrilled that I finally have one. But yes, it is. It's a joyful thing. Are you guys around this week?
Are we around? Tuesday, maybe we're going down to PNC for a senior concert because we are seniors. Ha ha. And Wednesday we have a funeral, and then we're good.
All right. Well, stay in touch, okay?
Okay. And you didn't bring that clipper today, did you?
Oh, no, I forgot.
No, that's okay. I wasn't waiting for it. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss some message that said, meet me.
No.
After. Okay, no problem, because I'm not ready to do that anyway, so it'll be another couple of weeks.
What was it that you were going to prune? The roses, right?
The roses,
right,
over at the church. So.
All right, yeah, no, remind me. You definitely need that. You definitely need that.
I'll just get it when I see you.
Okay, sounds good.
I don't think it's an urgency, because Uncle Art and I are the ones that are going to have to do it. And I wouldn't let somebody else use your tool anyway, because if something happens to it, then I'm responsible, and I replace it, so... Okay.
All right, my dear. You have a great day.
Okay, have a great week.
Thanks.
And it was good hearing your son talking about his pumpkins and everything. That sounded like fun.
His birthday.
Except that weekend that they open, we will be celebrating our anniversary in Virginia.
Well, his birthday is coming very soon.
Ah, nice. Very
so
good.
We're making big
plans.
Okay,
and if I don't speak to you, our best to Jared on her nuptials next weekend.
To Jordan.
I mean, Jordan, I didn't. Wrong Jay.
Yes, I will pass that on.
Okay.
All right,
Take
thanks for calling.
Day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for the information today.
Always a pleasure. Bye, Emery.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we're going to take a break. But before we take the break, I want to tell everybody that Barty Farms still offers your family the best of everything. Farm fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh baked pies and breads, international cheeses, gourmet and organic food items, and Jersey dairy milk. Barty Farms, 118 years old and still growing. And I want to give everybody the phone number because we have two open lines. We have Kathy and Mary. We'll get to them as soon as we get back. But the number, 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. And we'll be back after this.
Updated weather forecast for the overnight hours. It'll be mostly cloudy, with temperatures towards daybreak down to about 65. Daytime on your Sunday on this 11th day of September. Look for skies to be mostly cloudy. High temperatures for the day in the upper 70s, a 50% chance of some showers, mainly afternoon and evening. During the evening, could be some downpours. Highs for the day, 78. Lows at night, down to about the 65 to 70 degree range. Daytime Monday, hazy, humid weather, lower 80s, showers and some thunderstorms, some with downpours and temperatures. Daytime near 82. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for Fox Sports, New Jersey.
72 degrees in Central Jersey.
This is another Health Minute brought to you by St. Peter's Healthcare System.
St. Peter's University Hospital is proud to offer the most comprehensive maternity services in New Jersey, from their home-like birth center to their specialized high-risk pregnancy care. St. Peter's provides an extra measure of comfort and security for expectant parents because of its designation as New Jersey's first state-designated regional perinatal center and Level 3 neonatal intensive care unit. Their board-certified physicians, critical care nurses, and specialized staff care for women experiencing high-risk pregnancies and infants born prematurely or with serious medical issues, and for women experiencing low-risk pregnancies. Their certified nurse midwives are there to support a natural birth. St. Peter's University Hospital welcomed more than 5,200 babies last year, and every day they're delivering a higher standard of care for moms. St. Peter's University Hospital, safely treating you better for life.
You wouldn't call Horizon Pest Control for violin lessons, but if you have pests, then we're the people you call. Our highly trained, state-licensed technicians are experts at keeping your home free of mice, termites, and other pests you don't want living with you. And of course, your satisfaction is always our top priority. So when it comes to pests, we're the experts. Violin lessons? Not so much. Horizon Pest Control. Let our family take care of your family.
Selling your home in today's intense real estate market can be overwhelming. Thankfully, Joe DeVizio of JJ Ellick Realty is the realtor you can count on to guide you successfully through the process. Joe will take care of every detail so you don't have to worry. And he has the strategies needed to get you the best price for your home. It's your move. Call Joe today at 959-CALL-JOE. That's 959-CALL-JOE. Or visit sellwithjoe.com.
You're listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open, 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. We're going to Edison now. Say good morning to Kathy. How you doing, Kathy? What's happening?
Hi, Peggy. How are you?
I'm good.
We have daylilies that kind of line our fence. It's about a 2.5 foot area next to the fence, and they've really become overgrown and very annoying. And within the in the beds where the daylilies are, there's some iris that are, you know, managed to peek out. But I wanted to take out a lot of the daylilies and replant some iris bulbs in there, and also separate the iris bulbs that are already in there, and separate a few of the daylilies and save them and put them elsewhere. So all that being said, what's a good time to do that?
Okay, I have a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
The daylilies that are in there, are they just the wild type, the orange ones, or are they...
Yeah, the orange ones.
Okay. They do get less than. They're kind of wonderful because you really can't kill them. And they're
right.
Great. I love them along the side of the roads and along highways and places where they just pop up and do their thing and go away. In the garden where you're trying to have a more formal look, they don't last very long, and the leaves get ugly. So I understand your frustration with them.
Mm-hmm.
If I were you, I would consider not replacing them or replanting them elsewhere. If you like daylilies, and I do like daylilies, there are so many varieties that you can purchase. You can go online and order different kinds, find a catalog that is offering daylilies, and almost every garden catalog offers varieties of daylilies. And you can get some. There are varieties that bloom all summer, continuous blooming. There are varieties that do something called repeat blooming, which bloom early in the season, and then they bloom again later in the season. And then there's ones that bloom early season, mid-season, or late season. So you could have a mix, and you could have different colors. But they tend to be more dramatic and less – they last longer, less ugly – during that ugly period, that's shorter.
Right.
So you may, unless you really like these, and I have them at my place, and they came with the house, and I've been gradually...
And mine came with the house. Too.
Right. I've been gradually weeding them out and just putting them in isolated places. But, you know, I've tried to save as much as I could from the previous owner, who was an avid gardener, but they're not the best. I do like that they kind of camouflage the daffodil leaves, but, you know, because the daffodil leaves get ugly and they get lost in the daylily leaves, but then the daylily leaves get ugly. So, you know, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. But
right.
So I don't, you know, I would consider, if you like the fact that the daylilies bloom in the summer, that you might want to look at other varieties other than that one. Because they're
okay.
Always going to behave the way that you you're annoyed with them, and they're always going
to. And they're hard to dig out too. I mean, well, anything's hard for me to dig out, but they're hard. They tend to come back.
Yes,
correct. You have to do a really good job of of digging deep to get them out.
That's right. So maybe you don't want to plant them anyplace else, and they'll probably still continue to come up where you dig them out, at least to some degree. So that may be enough. That's up to you. But, you know, it's supposed to rain for the next couple of days, and we really need it. Now, the ground got a good drink during the week, which was good. That was very helpful. And the weather's cooler, which is also helpful. But I'd wait until after we get another good soaking rain and everything has a chance to absorb it. And any time during the month of September would be fine to do all of that. So you have time, but I'd wait until the ground has a little more moisture in it.
And then I could plant new bulbs in September as well?
Absolutely, yes. You can definitely plant irises in September. Now, they're not usually called bulbs. They're rhizomes, but yes, you can plant them. And you can plant...
And I could get new daylilies and plant them also?
Yes, absolutely.
And daffodils if I wanted?
Absolutely. That's the time to plant all that stuff. I should say that you can also plant irises and daylilies in the spring, but you can definitely plant them now. Once it goes into
October, or we should get it done in September?
Well, you can go into early October. You know, September for the daylilies and the irises might be a little bit better, but the bulbs can definitely go in October.
Mm. Okay.
But I'm going to throw one other thing out there. You can eat the daylilies.
Oh, yeah?
You can, yeah. The roots are edible. So if you want to dig them all out, you can wash them off and use them as a substitute for potatoes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I don't know if you want to try it. You can look up online and learn, you know, about them. But the daylilies are, all parts are edible. The foliage is only edible when it's young and tender, but you can eat the flowers and you can eat the roots. So
thank you.
Maybe all that effort of digging them up may feel more worthwhile if you get to eat them.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot, Peggy.
You're very welcome. Good luck.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye now. All right, now, Mary from Warren. Hey, how you doing?
Good morning, Peggy. I'm doing pretty good this morning.
Good. Glad to hear that.
I have two questions this morning. One is about geraniums. I bought at the end of the season last summer two geraniums. One had green leaves. One had the green leaves with the white around the edge.
Okay, variegated.
And they lasted all winter long in my window at school. Beautiful south window, got, you know, tons of light. One of them, the one with the green leaves, bloomed all winter, continued to bloom all summer. The one with the green and white leaves, I have yet in an entire year to have a single bloom on it.
Okay.
And I don't know if there's something that I'm doing wrong.
No, you didn't do anything wrong. They're different varieties. And anything that has a variegated leaf is always going to be a little bit fussier than anything that has a green leaf. But
I never thought about that.
Yeah, because you have less photosynthesis going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that side by side, the green one and the variegated one, the green one is always going to be a little tougher. A little more resilient and can tolerate lower light. But it's also, I mean, there are so many variety differences between, I mean, think of all the tomatoes in the world. You know, they're all tomatoes. Well, some are big, some are small, some are yellow, some are orange, some are green, some are purple, some are gigantic, some are, you know, the size of peas and everything in between. And although with geraniums, we're talking about the flowers, not the fruit, there's tremendous variation there too. And if you have different varieties and you grow them side by side, there's absolutely no guarantee that they're going to behave exactly the same.
It's like
that with anything. You know, what about Christmas cactus? Some people you can have two Christmas cactuses side by side and one will be covered in flowers and the other one won't get anything. It's just, they're just different. Everybody has their own. You know, some people got COVID, not everybody did. Everybody's different. And geraniums are different, and petunias are different, and we're all different. So,
and that's what makes it fun, right?
And that's what makes it fun. And you didn't do anything wrong. You absolutely didn't do anything wrong. If the one is blooming and you treated them both exactly the same and the other one is not blooming, That's not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. It's the nature of the beast. So, so don't feel bad about it. But if you want to try to encourage it to bloom, have you been fertilizing it?
I fertilized it some at the beginning of the summer, and then when it got so hot and dry, I just, you know, I continued to water them, but I stopped back on the fertilizer.
Yeah, well, that's good. Don't fertilize it, because that may be inhibiting its ability to make flowers. Since it, since the one flowered and the other one didn't, you have to, and you want to do something to make the one flower, you have to treat them a little bit differently, because obviously treating them the same didn't work. So continue to treat the green one exactly the same as you've been treating it, because it's happy as a clam. Now, the other one, you may, if you want to tweak it, you can tweak it or not. You can just enjoy the foliage. But cut back on the nitrogen fertilizer. So if you, you know, don't fertilize it for a while and see if that makes a difference. I know you haven't fertilized it recently, but it may, nitrogen can inhibit flower formation. So that's why, that's why lawns have high levels of nitrogen, because you want the grass to grow, the foliage to grow. You don't want your lawn to flower. So you have a high nitrogen.
That's true.
And that inhibits flower formation and makes the foliage grow. If you over-fertilize your tomatoes, they can get to be 8 feet tall and no tomatoes because too much nitrogen. So it's all, you know, I mean, you can jump around species, but a lot of the basic principles stay the same. So if you want it to flower, cut back on your nitrogen and keep your fingers crossed.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yep.
And my other question is, I have a garden. I was out looking at it the other day, and I need something that will give it color in the fall. I have, like, in the spring, I have that Fritillaria or Crown Imperial.
Crown Imperials, yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, they're beautiful, and there's some daffodils in there, and then there's some Allium and Gladiolus that bloom in the summer, and I'm out there. I was out there yesterday, and there's just, you know, the flowers are all died out. There's a couple of boxwoods in it that give it some green, but and the gladiolus, there's still stalks, but there's no flowers anymore. So I was wondering if there was something I could put in that would give me some flower in the fall, whether it's a bulb or a couple of small shrubs that might flower in the fall.
Okay. All right. How much room are we talking about?
The garden is probably about 10 feet. I call it the bubble garden. It has kind of a shape of a bubble, how it, you know, they ebb and flow. So it's not really square.
That's good. Okay, couple suggestions. There's a whole bunch of weird things that you could plant. First of all, let us not ignore the world of chrysanthemums, because those are dependable and they're always available. They're lovely. They're not the most exciting thing in the world, but they are lovely. You can look into the fall crocus. There are true crocuses, and then there's also something called the autumn crocus, which is not a crocus at all. It's actually a colchicum is the botanical name, but it looks like a big crocus, and they bloom at this time of year. Another plant that blooms at this time of year that I love is the hardy cyclamen, and they get little pink flowers. They're adorable, and they are shade tolerant, so that's something that's a little bit different. On the other extreme side, the perennial sunflowers that I have planted like crazy along my very tall chain link fence. It's on one side of my property. The chain link fence is actually above a cinder block wall. And then the chain link goes up 8 feet above the cinder block wall. And because they leveled the property next door and raised it so that in order to hold the soil back where they made it level, my backyard undulates. It goes down, it goes up, it goes down, it goes up. So they made it all level, so in spots the cinder block wall is like 3 feet high, and then the chain link fence is above that. So on their side it's 8 feet, but on my side it's like 11 feet. And I planted perennial sunflowers, and they are about to bloom. They are covered in buds. They haven't opened yet, but they bloom and they last a long time and they get tall. They look like a clump of bamboo during the growing season and get to be 3 to 4 feet tall. And then in September, they double in height, but the part that doubles is all covered in flowers. So if they were 4 feet high and they get to 8 feet high, the top 4 feet is all flowers.
And that sounds pretty.
Yeah, and they last in pretty much the month of October. They bloom a long time. So that's something. But I don't know if that will fit with the scope of your bed because they do get big. But you might be able to put them in the back as long as they get sun. So that's something that's kind of different. There's also a fall flowering onion. Now, my girlfriend, Mary Ellen, had them planted outside her house, and she is not much of a gardener. She just saw them and grabbed them and planted them, and I was so jealous that she had them. And then they're amazing. They're flowering onions that bloom in August and September. Now, Nancy, who calls in all the time, Nancy from Somerset, she just got some. Not sure where she got them from. But they're around, and because they're blooming now, you've got a good shot at actually seeing them in the garden centers because they're blooming now.
And, oh, okay.
And plants tend to be available while they're in bloom because that's when people want to buy them. So you may be able to find them locally. So those are fun. Those are definitely fun. And let's see. So that's something that's a little bit different. We talked about the colchicum. Oh, some of the daylilies, the re-blooming daylilies, they will bloom late. And I have, this is something I'm very excited about. There are a couple of shrub forms, small shrub forms of crepe myrtle that are blooming now. I have two, one with a burgundy foliage and one with a purple foliage, and they're blooming now. They're great. They stay relatively small, and because they are crepe myrtles, if you think they're getting too big, you can prune them hard in the spring, and they'll still bloom because they bloom on new growth. So you can keep them small if you need to. But I've had them for a couple of years, and they're staying very small. They're staying very compact.
Oh, all right.
So that,
I'll have to get myself out to the garden center and see what it is I can find.
Yeah, so that's some fun stuff. Oh, and you know what I planted last year? I'll have to report on what they're going to do. Reblooming azaleas. There are reblooming azaleas. Yes, they're new. I got them from Mel last year. And yeah, reblooming. I put in like four of them that are supposed to bloom in the fall. How cool is that?
That is really neat.
Yes, so look around.
I'll have to see. Maybe she'll have them this year. I was down there a couple of weeks ago. And I got some really fun things to give me a little bit of color now. You know, they were annuals, but they were on a really good sale, and I put them around in some pots and stuff, and they look really beautiful. So I will have to make another trip down there to Mel's and see.
Yeah, she's getting
maybe
all new stock, and in fact, she's going to be on the air next Sunday. We made plans for her to, you know, call in next Sunday, and so we can ask her all the new cool stuff she's got. So if you want to wait until after that, you could do that, or you could always call her and she'll tell you. But yeah, I got those azaleas from her last year. I was thrilled. All kinds of ideas.
That does give me lots of things to think about here.
Okay.
And I'll make that bubble garden look pretty.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks for
calling,
Mary. Have a great week.
Okay. You too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Do we need a break? Okay. Can I give the phone number? 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. We have four open lines, so if you call, we'll get you on the air as soon as we get back from this.
Updated weather forecast for the overnight hours. It'll be mostly cloudy. Temperatures towards daybreak down to about 65. Daytime on your Sunday on this 11th day of September. Look for skies to be mostly cloudy. High temperatures for the day in the upper 70s, a 50% chance of some showers, mainly afternoon and evening. During the evening, could be some downpours. Highs for the day, 78. Lows at night, down to about the 65 to 70 degree range. Daytime Monday, hazy, humid weather, lower 80s, showers and some thunderstorms, some with downpours and temperatures. Daytime, near 82. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for Fox Sports, New Jersey.
72 degrees in Central Jersey.
Part Irish pub, part sports bar, but all family-friendly. Ryan's Pub and Sports Bar is the place to be. Ryan's Pub and Sports Bar is known for its wide selection of craft brews, karaoke nights, daily specials, and food made with the freshest ingredients available, and pizza that is simply delish. Ryan's Pub and Sports Bar provides catering and will deliver to your home or business. Ryan's Pub and Sports Bar at 299 Spotswood English Town Road in Monroe Township. Call 732-251-1709 or visit online at ryanspubandgrill.com.
Brownstone Bar and Grill at 932 Route 27 in Metuchen has something for everyone available for pickup. Succulent samplers, main courses of seafood, steak, and more, all available for pickup at the Brownstone. Check out the menu offerings at thebrownstonenj.com. Order with confidence online or call 732-902-2742. Your meal will be ready to pick up for you so you can enjoy the best of the Brownstone right in the comfort of your home. That's thebrownstonenj.com or 732-902-2742.
Food waste is a big problem. How big? 63 million tons of food waste were generated in 2018 just in the U.S. You and your family can help reduce food waste with these great tips from Middlesex County Solid Waste Management. Get the most out of your food. Need fresh lemon, lime, or other citrus juice? Before you squeeze out the juice, grate the peel of the fruit and store it to use later. Then you'll have fresh orange, lemon, or lime zest to use in recipes. After you extract the juice, don't throw the fruit away. Put it in a pitcher with water to create delicious flavored water. Another way to use your leftover already squeezed lemon wedge is as a cleaner for your kitchen sink. Rub it directly on the sink surface. The acid in the lemon is great at breaking up grease and other buildup. Learn more about reducing food waste on MiddlesexCountyNJ.gov/GetFoodSmart.
The Garden Show is brought to you by Middlesex County Solid Waste Management.
Thinking about selling your home? Then you need the help of a realtor that knows your neighborhood and the market. You need Joe DeVizio of J.J. Ellick Realty. Joe and his team are backed by years of market expertise, powerful negotiating skills, and advanced selling techniques. He will attract the right qualified buyer so you get the best price for your home. It's your move. Call Joe today at 959-CALL-JOE or visit sellwithjoe.com. That's sellwithjoe.com.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey. The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. We are getting towards the end of the show, right, Jared?
Yeah.
We've got a few minutes left, so if anybody calls, I'll be able to answer your questions. But since I have a few minutes, I would like to take just a minute or two to say how sad I am about the passing of the Queen. She was a great lady. She was a great lady, and I always admired her. Can't say I agree with absolutely everything that she did, but... She did everything with dignity, and there was something that was fun about her, and she was so loyal and devoted her whole life to, I wouldn't want to say politics, but public relations and being a leader and bringing people together. She was very good at that. And one of my favorite stories that I know about her was that during World War II, she worked... She was like a mechanic and worked for the motorcade driving people, and she knew a lot about that. She trained for that during World War II, and I believe her sister Margaret did the same thing. But so she was an excellent driver, and among all the other things she did. And years later, she was having a visiting dignitary from one of those countries, and I don't even remember which one, where women are not allowed to drive. And she had some political leader from one of those countries come to England, and she insisted on driving herself with this guy. And I thought that that was an incredible, subtle, elegant statement. Didn't have to make a big deal, didn't draw attention to anything, but the message got through loud and clear. I thought that was brilliant.
It's great.
Isn't that great? So I thought that that was brilliant. And And she was a loving mom. You know, she was a great mom and a great leader. And in later years, I got such a kick out of her outfits. I know that that's not politically important, but she always looked cheerful. She wore the most beautiful colors and presented herself with dignity and cheer and happiness. And you would look at her and you would smile. How many of our leaders can we say that about?
Not that many.
Not that many. So she was amazing in many ways. The length of her reign only being one of them, and not even maybe the most important. The fact that all of those years she was respected and there was no controversy, and she set the example of a good marriage and an importance of family and dignity and integrity is something that is to be admired. And I hope Charles can continue that, and William afterwards, but it was a loss. So I just wanted to get my two cents in on that. And then I feel sad. I mean, she lived to be 96, but still, the passing, the end is always sad. So, all right. So something else that I want to talk about, which is not as much fun or interesting or positive, is an article that was sent to me by Diane about jumping worms. You ever heard of such a thing, Jared?
I haven't.
Well, I never did either, but apparently they are an introduced species, probably from Eastern Asia, and they were first found in Wisconsin in 2013, but they're spreading, and they're undesirable. Now, they eat organic matter, which of course all worms do, but that's part of what worms do. But these guys eat the top layer and deposit their coffee grounds like poop on the surface. And if you go to touch them, they jump. They like jump into the air. I couldn't find anything that indicated that they are poisonous or bite or anything like that, but they deplete the soil. And wherever they are, the plant material tends to die out. And so the native plants die, leaving space for invasive species. So they're definitely not good in the woods. So you want to keep an eye out for them. If you come across worms that when you touch them or disturb them, they jump, that's a pretty important clue. But they also apparently have a white band around them near their heads, which is an identifying feature. And they have the ability, like some lizards, that if you grab them and their tail breaks off, that they can regenerate their tail. It's a escape mechanism that protects them. So the suggestions are, if you come across these jumping worms, and they have a lot of other names as well besides jumping worms, they have a whole host of names. Jumping worms, crazy worms, wood eels, Alabama jumpers, snake worms, a lot of different names. It's important to not spread them. So be careful if you go to buy mulch. You check the mulch, make sure that you don't come across any worms in it. If you find them in any plant material in the pots, that you get rid of them, check everything before you put it in the ground, because you don't want to get them established in your ground. So you want to look around for them. And apparently the easiest way to identify them is the fact that absolutely they jump, jumping worms. It's a new thing. I'm not sure how they got here initially, although they have been spreading. And they're something that we're supposed to be keeping an eye on. And they are... And they grow more quickly than the earthworms that we have here, although they're all introduced too. They've been around a long time and are not really problematic. Sometimes they have been sold as bait. You definitely want to avoid that. So just keep your eyes out for them. One new problem to, while you're out there killing your spotted lanternflies, you can keep your eye out for jumping worms. It's all weird, isn't it, Jared? But
I know it is.
Yeah, it's definitely weird, but something that you want to keep your eyes out for. The last thing that I want to share with you, we only have about 30 seconds, is that my moonflower vines are now blooming, and they take a really long time, but and certainly the drought slowed them down. They got droopy a number of times, but the really nice thing is they grow up this great trellis that I have, and I can see it right out the bedroom window. They open at night, so I can go in there and I can look out the window, and there they are covering the trellis with beautiful white flowers. They only open at night. I have yet to be out there, although I have tried to see them open. That's my challenge for the next week, to see if I can get out there and see them open. So I will be here next week, same time, same place. Hope everyone has a good week. Until then, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Broadcasting from the Davis Insurance Agency Studios. A-list guests from the world of...